This is The Rotunda, your podcast about the people and issues shaping Florida politics. I'm Tramell Gomes.
We're gathered here today to find out who is Donald Trump working for.
While Donald Trump continues to hide his tax returns, business owners say reforming the nation's tax code is long overdue.
1986, we've not had a reformation.
Carlos Baruff, chairman of Florida's Constitution Revision Commission, calls on Floridians to help shape the future of the state.
Get involved. I mean, it's the only state in the country where one individual can come and speak, and that idea could get wings and it could end up changing the future of Florida. That's pretty big stuff.
And we dive into a bit of Florida history with the sordid details of sex, race, and murder captivating the nation's attention.
A newly elected political figure shot dead by his black mistress. You know, the headlines ran national. Zora Neale Hurston came down to cover the story.
All that and more coming up on episode 102 of The Rotunda.
And we raise it on behalf of 700,000 tax-paying patriotic citizens right here in the nation's capital who are denied voting representation in that building right there.
Thousands of protesters attended tax day marches across the country, calling on President Trump to release his tax returns. Trump is the first U.S. president and first major party nominee in four decades to refuse his full tax returns to the public.
We're not going to take it anymore.
In light of all the known conflicts of interests in the Trump administration, many speculate Trump is taking the American public for the biggest ride in history.
Donald Trump is a fraud and a cheapskate, and he's a bully.
That's Democratic U.S. Senator Elizabeth Warren of Massachusetts urging Congress to force Trump to release his returns.
I have to be honest. It is hard to talk about Donald Trump. Between his ignorance, his racism, his sexism, his lies, it is actually hard to know where to start. But we got to start somewhere. And today I want to focus on one lie that helps sum up what Donald Trump is all about. His taxes. You know, we don't actually know what Donald Trump pays in taxes because he is the first presidential nominee in 40 years to refuse to disclose his tax return.
I believe there's a bombshell in his taxes.
There's a bombshell there.
Republicans have rebuffed calls by Democrats to get the House Ways and Means Committee to act. But there are other items on the committee's agenda that's getting business owners like Arnold Baker to give some praise to the committee's tax reform blueprint.
As someone who provides the building blocks for construction, I know that tax reform would help America start building again. And every bolt, every nail, every yard of concrete had to come from somewhere. Some of that will come from my company, Baker Ready Mix, and we will grow as the economy grows. The House reform plan would be a shot in the arm to the economy. It would help small businesses in general, but it would help especially my small business because I'm in construction and development. America's future will be built by the materials we provide.
Baker is calling for the passage of the House Tax Reform Blueprint, released last year as part of Speaker Paul Ryan's Better Way agenda. It's long been viewed as the starting point for tax reform.
Certainly a high priority for my business, as it is for U.S. business at large and small, who suffer under high taxes from a code that hasn't been reformed since 1986. 1986, we've not had a reformation.
But the Trump administration is drafting a new proposal looking beyond what Ryan and other Republicans put together last year. A controversial piece of that plan is its reliance on border adjustability to tax imports and exempt exports. So Barney Bishop, the immediate past president of Associated Industries of Florida, joined Baker and the head of the National Black Chamber of Commerce, Harry Alford, on a conference call to tout the House plan. I wanted to know what Florida's import-export market is like and the possible economic benefit to the state.
Tremel, this is Barney Bishop. I assume that question was for me. I think that this tax is going to end up being neutral. So Florida has got a robust export business. We're one of the largest states. I think we're in the top five states for exporting. in importing. So it's a very important part of the Florida business model and how our economy is structured. And there's a lot of jobs that are based on that. I think this plan, this blueprint that's offered by Ryan and Brady gives us every opportunity to make our businesses competitive and allow us to compete in foreign countries and in countries that we do business with that will help us all continue to grow. And, you know, the most important thing that any business person needs, whether you're a large multinational corporation or if you're a small two-man business, is that you need to know certainty. You need to know how to make your decisions based on what is the landscape. And so what we need is some certainty, and we think that this tax plan will provide that with us if we can get it passed and get it enacted.
And that is the big if, since it appears the White House is exploring other ideas. According to The Hill, there will be a possible inclusion of a value-added tax and a carbon tax. So with everything else Trump, it's very hard to pin down a clear direction from the president, even with his sort of tax plan, which could mirror the House plan with changes to the details. We will just have to wait and see. This is The Rotunda, your podcast about the people and issues shaping Florida politics. I'm Tramell Gomes. Visit rotundapodcast.com. Follow us on social media at Rotunda Podcast. And there are ways you can directly contribute to this weekly production. Yes, you can send in your generous contribution of any amount by visiting rotundapodcast.com. And as always, thanks for your support. Once every 20 years, the people of Florida gets an opportunity to rewrite its constitution. The process is done through the Constitution Revision Commission, and I caught up with the CRC chair, Carlos Baruth, during a public hearing in Tallahassee.
Carlos, please call me Carlos.
So Carlos, so overall in general, what's the process been like for you?
I love it. I love crowds. I love when people come up that are not, that just want to speak from the heart, because at the end of the day, that's who I'm trying to get to.
What can you say to the people who are listening at home to get involved in this process? What is
they should
process
get involved. Called? I mean, the only state in the country where one individual can come and speak, and that idea could get wings, and it could end up changing the future of Florida. That's pretty big stuff, and it costs them nothing.
So
it's up a couple of hours of their time.
For those concerned about lobbying and stuff like that and getting your attention.
It cuts through all of that. Mm-hmm. That's the beauty of this process. It cuts through everything. A person who just has an idea or a motivation brings it forward and they can make a difference. That's the Floridians we're looking for.
Members of the Capitol Press Corps chimed in and asked questions of Baruth, like what are some of the top issues being brought up by the people?
In general, though, if you could characterize what you think the things that you've heard the most from...
On the stop so far.
On the stop so far, not tonight, right.
In general.
I think Article 1, Section 23 has been a common thing. This thing where we don't have the authority to do what we're doing has come up. Considerable. I think the redistricting and the open primaries come up. So those are common themes I think we've heard throughout the state.
Felons voting and the environment too. Are those been?
We've heard that, but not as much as the ones I mentioned
okay.
earlier.
All right, great. Thank
How about
you.
Home
oh, I'm sorry. Yes, home rule comes up. Personally, I don't have an issue with what they're saying, but at the end of the day, it's the legislature likes to do their thing.
I mean, I've been doing public hearings for 22 years. I've never been at one where somebody hasn't tried to organize it. But we are getting legitimate grassroots views from people who are not being paid, who are not being prompted or promoted, but people who are truly troubled or inspired by an idea.
Former State Senator Don Gates is also part of the commission that will be making stops around the state to get recommendations from fellow Floridians.
No, I mean, we haven't had any meetings yet where we have been able to discuss as commissioners what our points of view are or what we think we've heard. I guess that happens later. So far, this has just been a one-way conversation. We've listened and others have talked. Hard as that is for me. I'm no constitutional scholar, but it seems to me that if you're going to deal with the voting rights issue for felons, it is a constitutional issue, no matter how you feel about it. If you're going to deal with the Article 1, Section 23 issue, it is an Article 1, Section 23 constitutional issue, and the same with the Blaine Amendment issue. I think those are legitimate constitutional issues. How they'll come out, I'm not sure.
The next scheduled CRC meeting is April 26th in Gainesville. For a complete list of meetings and updates, visit reviseFL.com. That's reviseFL.com. This is The Rotunda. I'm Tramell Gomes.
I ask my parents at the dinner table, I said, who is Ruby McCollum? And my parents told me that I was not to talk about that.
Now we'll wrap this episode with a trek back in history. 1952. We're talking murder of a newly elected Democratic nominee to the Florida Senate.
Black women did not shoot white men.
Why would she do something like that?
Something must have happened that was overwhelming for her to decide and act that way.
It was a shock to the community. And my mother was afraid that the KKK was going to turn this town upside and down.
When Ruby McCollum murdered Dr. Adams in 1952, it opened up a sinkhole into what lies beneath the quaint, nice facade of Suwanee County. We had to face our demons.
That's a clip from the documentary You Belong to Me, Sex, Race, and Murder in the South.
It's a true story.
Tom Shedd is a singer-songwriter based in Gainesville.
Your background with all the songs that you do, it's mostly about Florida and Florida history.
Yes, and Florida's environment, Florida's history.
So the story of Ruby McCollum captured the nation's attention, all from Live Oak, the little farming town in North Florida. Now I'll turn the storytelling over to Tom. He does it best. But he will first tell how he became inspired to chronicle Florida's history in song.
I had the fortune when, as a student at the University of Florida, I met a Native American who is a professor here named Don Grooms. And he changed my life in that he took real stories, real history, and real truth, and told that story in song, where I was 19 years old, and I was very impressed with, you know, hey, write imaginary songs, hoping a girl likes it. And he played a song for me about a Native American being ruled a human being in federal court in 1838, and then asked me, why didn't I write songs about something? And that was my cathartic moment. And at that point, I began researching and looking around me, what is true about the world around me? Because he told the story, and when he wrote a song about Native Americans, he wrote it from that perspective. So it gave me a clarity and objectivity to go, whoa, I'm not even aware of the world around me. So time to put on your big boy pants and, you know, grow up a little bit. And it was a marvelous thing. One of the principal inspirations of it was a man named Will McLean, who is considered the founder of the Florida folk movement. Performed with Pete Seeger in Carnegie Hall and was a poet laureate of the state. He wrote a song, one that is really popular in storytelling and inspires a lot of Florida songwriters to write songs about Florida. There's a place just south of Tallahassee over by Carabel called Tate's Hell, and you're not talking about a place named after a man, you're talking about a place that's named after what happened to him. And in the late 1800s, a man named C.B. Tate got tired of Panthers killing his cattle, so he got his gun and his dogs, and he pressed into a swamp. And sometimes in Florida, when you press into a swamp, like Gulf Hammock, that swamp presses back. And by the time C.B. Tate got out of there, they named the place after what happened to him. Will McLean would always introduce the song, you know, "Listen, good people, a story I'll tell about a great swamp."
Oh, listen, good people, a story I'll tell of a great swamp in Florida, a place called Tate's Hell, 140 square watery miles with millions of skeeters and big yellow flies, and where all about the moccasins lie with glittering death in their beady eye, where bull gators beller and panthers squall. Now this is a place to be shunned by all. Old Tate left Sumatra long about dark. He had his two big dogs, a puppy named Spark, an old long-tom shotgun, a sharp Barlow knife that Panther would sure have the chase of his life. A little past moon down, the dog struck the scent. Through bramble and tie-tie, a running Tate went for hours and hours until it was dawn. Then Tate knew that he was a long way from home.
He blowed through his gun barrel. The dogs didn't hear. The panther had killed them. Now Tate felt fear. The sun was not shining. Mist, it was thick. Oh, Lordy, Tate hollered. Lost up the creek. Now he leaned back to rest, but his eyes didn't see. The big rattler struck him above the bent knee. The lick was so hard, a sprawling knee fell. This was the beginning of poor old Tate's hell. Well, he opened his barlet, grabbed him some moss. A cut he made one way, another across. He wrapped his leg tightly and tied it with string. Sickness came on him, his body turned green. When Tate was discovered, these words he did tell. My name is old Tate, boys, I just been in hell. These few spoken words were the last that he said. His spirit had left him. Tate, he was dead.
No man can dispute this legend of yore, how Tate lived a full week and then 5 days more, and somehow crawled out close to Caribel from that deep ghostly swamp that we know as Tate's Hell.
Now let's get back to the case of Ruby McCollum,
who was married to a man named Sam McCollum, who was the richest black man in Suwannee County, had a car dealership and insurance business, ran a little game on the side called Bolita. Now we call it Lotto now, but it wasn't legal then. And Ruby was visiting a doctor named Leroy Adams, who had just been elected to the Florida Senate, and the Adams family, a very powerful family. And she was pregnant with his child. He had, I don't know how they're going to judge what the relationship was, but he was taking possession of her without her permission. So there's a short word for that, but I just put it in those terms.
So who's pregnant with whose child? Who?
Ruby McCollum is pregnant with Leroy Adams, Dr. Leroy Adams' child. And in this instance, it's the second time. And Sam McCollum said, you know, don't let this happen again. And it happened, and she became incredibly distressed. So she rendezvoused with Dr. Adams on a Sunday and shot him dead, which created a great controversy at the time, because he'd just been, you know, he was a newly elected political figure shot dead by his black mistress. You know, the headlines ran national. Zora Neale Hurston came down to cover the story, although she was denied access to the courtroom. So, because we hadn't grown up enough yet. And when the trial went, they didn't want to seek the death. The Adams family didn't want to seek the death penalty because there were two children. So they had her declared insane and locked up in Chattahoochee. And the depth and breadth of that story as it reaches across, it's a history of Florida. And in 1953, what a pivotal year. In 1954, things are starting to change. And then in 1964, things start to change. So in a way, it's a part of that ancient bellwether of people. It's rumored, or maybe it's a fact, that Paramore rights were brought up in that courtroom, which was, you know, once again, it's, we said 1953, not 18. It's like you, it's a mirror you don't want to look back in, because you, I mean, I was alive during that time. I was a baby, but I was alive during that time, and that exists. So these are things that are hard for us to comprehend. And Don Grooms, like I said, the professor at the university and Native American, looked at that story, researched it as a journalist, and came up with the song, Belita Sam.
So what are some of the lyrics that stick out for you, if we can hear?
Well, the first verse is so good because it's the man who ran the numbers in Florida in 53 was a gray-eyed black man named McCullum. His pretty wife, Ruby. Ruby had a problem. Also had a kid by a white doctor in Live Oak who would like to keep it hid.
Also had a kid by a white doctor in Live Oak who would like to keep it hid. Belita Sam, gambling man, couldn't handle what was going down. Played his final numbers, nobody remembers that gray-eyed black man, Belita Sam. Sunday morning, well, Ruby couldn't take it no more. She shot Dr. Leroy Adams, left him dying on the floor. Sam knew when they came for Ruby, why they'd take him if they could. So he filled a suitcase with money and he left Live Oak for good. Belita Sam, gambling man, handle what was going down. Played his final numbers, nobody remembers that gray-eyed black man, Belita Sam. Sam went home to Ocala, Ruby went to jail, charged with first degree murder, wouldn't let her out on bail. Sam never knew what happened, didn't know she went insane, cause he went home to Ocala, played his final numbers game. Belita Sam, gambling man, couldn't handle what was going down. Played his final numbers, nobody remembers that gray-eyed Sam.
And the last verse, you hear what happens to Sam McCullum. He packed up because he knew once they went for Ruby, they're coming for him. So he headed back to Ocala and was poisoned. Mysteriously, he died. But Don lyrically covered that when he said, Sam did not use a pistol. Here's the reason why. He said, when you've nothing left to lose, you got to lay down and die.
Belita Sam, gambling man, couldn't handle what was going down. Played his final numbers, nobody remembers that gray-eyed black man, Belita Sam.
All right, Tom Shedd, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Special thanks to Tom Shedd for sharing his talent right here on the Rotunda during our chance encounter, where we both participated as advisory council members in the Department of Telecommunication at the University of Florida. That's it for this edition of The Rotunda. We will be back next week right here for more stories about the people and issues shaping Florida politics. I'm Tramell Gomes.